traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Well, good afternoon, equestrians. We're here in Delray Beach, Florida. My name's Scott Miller, founder of the International Equine Network. We're getting ready to have a good show today. We've got a lot of things going on. The holiday seasons are here, so we're kind of excited about that. It's always good in the equestrian industry because it's kind of like the last time you can get together with all your friends, you know, before the really competitive season really starts, you know, here with us. We're going to be all over the map here today about what's going on for the holidays, trying to give a preview, you know, where you can go and what you can do and enjoy this last month or so of the year. And one of the things that we're going to start off talking about is the Florida Horse Park in Ocala, Florida. It's a great place to go for the holiday. A lot of things to do there. It's an agriculture center and horse park. It's 500 acres. It's a multi-purpose facility and one of Central Florida's premier venues for equine agriculture, educational, and sporting events. It's great. You know, if you want to get away with the family and get away from all the pressures of life and the COVID and everything, that's an excellent place to go. The agriculture center there has developed an international equine competition facility that encompasses all breeds, kind of like the International Equine Network is at all disciplines. It says they're advancing the agriculture education to the young people of our country to get them involved in different ag events. And that's one thing that we really need to do is give the kids somewhere to go, something to do, you know, to help them stay in line and find, either find a career or find a way to relax. That's the great thing about the horse industry. You can find a career in any discipline, any breed, or you can find a way to relax. And it's kind of a good thing, I think, you know, to be able to get the family out and get them on a mini vacation, a daycation, as they call it. You know, that's something that we all need to get every now and then. So think about the Ocala, Florida area, plenty of things to do there, and the Florida Horse Park. Next, we're going to go out west to Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. This is something that's... I tell you, it would really be fantastic to get involved in. I wish I could do it, but there's no way that I could. And everything, it's called Sing with Bing Contest. It's a contest that they're going to have for the Breeders' Cup. Bing Crosby fans is one of your favorite Breeders' Cup. Will be contested right here at Seaside Oval next year. In Del Mar, California. All you got to do is submit a video singing with Ben Crosby, Where the Turf Meets the Surf. That's their kind of anthem there that Ben Crosby had made very famous there. How Del Mar came about was a group of people, Jimmy Durante, Bob Hope, Ben Crosby, and the list is just endless. And they created the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. And it's a great place to go, especially like in the holidays. You know, they've got a lot of things there, a lot of activities there. But this Sing with Bing contest is really something. You can win tickets to the 21 Breeders' Cup at Del Mar. And all you got to do is submit your video to Del Mar Turf Club. It's www.tmtc.com. Their that's their website, or just go to Del Mar Racing. And you can submit your video, your singing abilities, and maybe win certificates to the 2021 Breeders' Cup at Del Mar. And like I said, we're going to go through a lot of places today about what you can do at the holiday times, which is really good this time of year and everything. So next we're going to talk about the Tampa Bay Downs in Tampa, Florida, about what all they have available coming up this year. It's going to be fantastic in Tampa. I don't know how many of you people have ever been to Tampa, but it's a great place to go to. It's kind of laid-back facility. You don't feel like you're, in a huge place. But it's one of the best racetracks in the country. A lot of winners come out of Tampa Bay over there. And we got a lot of things in the Tampa Bay area to go to do, which is really a nice one-day trip over there. Fans are going to be permitted to go to the Tampa Bay Downs meet this year, which is good. They figured out the plan. They're claiming that they're going to start on November 25th. And they've been allowed to go onto the track for simulcasting since July 2nd in the Silk Smoker Room. And that's been going on all summer long. So they've got the COVID thing down. They know what they have to do. They know how to do it. And it's working for them. That's what's going on with them. So Tampa Bay Downs has a lot of great racing there. A lot of champions come out of there. A lot of horses come out of there and go on to the Kentucky Derby and into other races around the country. It's very laid-back situation there. Easy to get to, easy to get in and out of. And one of the things I like about Tampa Bay Downs is just right down the road, a mile from the track, is a flea market. And you wouldn't believe the things that you can find at that flea market there in Tampa. And then they have the Silk Smoker Room there, which is really exciting to see. A lot of good card players go there. And they also have a golfing venue there with at the Tampa Bay track close to it there. So, like I said, the COVID-19, they've got a protocol there that is getting better and better and better for them. You enjoy some good racing, good food there. You can go to TampaBayDowns.com and see what all they have there. And it's good. You see some good quality of horse racing at Tampa Bay Downs. The one thing that I like about Tampa is the fact that when you go, it's easy to park, easy to get in and out of. There's a lot of restaurants in the area, a lot of good hotels in the area, and like I said, the flea market action. When you go, you can spend the whole day, take the family, really enjoy it. There's a lot of things that you can see there. They got face painting for the kids. They got a lot of things. So at Tampa Bay Downs, in December. It's a good little holiday trip, that you can go on. The next place that we're going to go to, we're going to travel up north to Kentucky. One of the most amazing facilities that I've ever seen as far as the horse venues are is the Kentucky Horse Park. When they built that, they not only had the horsemen in mind as far as the quality and ease and access of the venue, of the arenas and the barns and everything. But they thought about the clients, the customers that would be coming there. You don't have to be a horseman to go there to enjoy it. They've got camping facilities there that are just extraordinary. You can go from primitive camping up to, the full-blown, full facility. There, they've got a great general store there. If you need anything for your RV, they've got food, you name it, they have.
there at the Kentucky Horse Park. And that's the camping end of it. So it makes it great for the horsemen that have their own fifth wheels or their own trailers, because they can trailer right into the horse park there, and they're a half a mile away from their training facility and everything. This year they're celebrating the 27th year at the Kentucky Horse Park. They have the Southern Lights presented by Friends of the Cole, and a magical holiday tradition that they're going to have over a million twinkling lights you'll see from the safety of your car. And that starts November 22nd through December 21st. So that's coming up here in a few days. Again, like I said, the Kentucky Horse Park, you can see polo there, you can see dressage, you can see hunter jumpers, you can see three-day eventing. That's where they have the Range Rover three-day eventing there, a pre-Olympic an event that draws 40,000 people to. It's a great event. It comes right along in the end of April, right before the Kentucky Derby. So, there's a lot to do there at the horse park when they have that. So the drive-through for the lights nightly is November 22nd, December 31st, 5:30 to 10 p.m. Tickets are $25 a carload, and you can purchase them online. And that way you can don't have to put any extra effort to drive it through. You can just drive through. It's a fantastic night to go through. In fact, I've been to it several times all in the same month. It's a great thing to do if you got family or friends that come into town, or you just want to go visit with somebody. It's a great thing to see when you are in Lexington. And then the greatest part about the horse park is they've got so much that's available there. They got a nice museum. You can go in and you can see the history of horses. They've got a barn where they have all breeds of horses. You can go in and see demonstrations of what's being done, in the horse industry. They explain the breeds to you. They talk about everything you can want to know about the horses. And the great thing about it is they'll answer your question. You'll see how horses are shod, how they put horseshoes on. You'll see all kinds of demonstrations there. And like I said, they're answering your questions, and they got trail rides, and you name it, they've got it. So the Kentucky Horse Park is a great place to go visit and spend a few days there. Go there to camp and enjoy the events that are going on, especially in the horse museum. Their museum, they have there, it's small, but man, I tell you what, they'll tell you any and everything you need to know about the horse industry. And that's in Lexington, Kentucky, Kentucky Horse Park, which is a good one to go with. And now we're going to come back here to South Florida, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Winter Equestrian Festival here at Wellington, in the Palm Beach, International Equestrian Center. You will see, especially with the Olympics coming up in 2021, you will undoubtedly see the best show horse people in the world. And I don't mean just one or two. I mean, they're four and five deep in every event. It's literally watching the Olympics, before they happen. You have a multitude of international equestrians that arrived here in Wellington this month. And so they're going to start kicking everything off here in November that will lead up to, probably the selection of quite a few of the Olympic team members, here. On November 24th, we have the United States Equestrian Federation. It's a premier AA jumper level 6 and FEI CSI 4. time. That's on November 24th, and that starts at 8 a.m. And then it literally just continues on all through the month of December into January. And then by the time you get into January, you're looking at some heavy-duty shows. You know, you're looking at people from all over the world that will be coming in. And you can get down to the rails. You can talk to them. You can meet them. Palm Beach International Equestrian Center is one of the outstanding horse facilities in the world. The food's good. They have Saturday night lights I don't know how to describe it. You can see the facility in the daytime, and it looks great. But on Saturday night, when they turn those lights on, it's just unbelievable. The way the horses jump, the shadows, the people that are there, the atmosphere, the food, and the people that you see there. You see people from all walks of life at Saturday night lights. You see famous people, you see athletes, you see the business people, you see any and everybody that's anything in this country. They're there on Saturday night lights at the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center. They got a lot of good shopping there, good seats, good food. So it's worth the weekend to go visit and go see. Like I said, it started here in November, and it will go all the way through March 31st to April 4th, the last big weekend there. So you're looking at a lot of interesting things to do over the winter. You're not going to get bored when you go there. In fact, I guarantee you, if you go there once, you'll go again and again and again. That's a great area to be in. That's the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center in Wellington, Florida. So that's one thing that I got on my bucket list to do at least twice this year. It's one of the things that I want to do. And hopefully I can get up there and do that. So now, speaking of Wellington and pre-Olympic, racing or showing, we have the 2021 Olympics were delayed from 2020 to 2021 because of the COVID. That's one of the things that they did do. They've got the protocol down. They've got everything worked out to be able to get the equestrians and the horses there, with a good protocol. They've gone beyond any imagination protocol. They've done it for the Olympics in Japan. They've done an excellent job of securing and sterilizing the facility, multiple stations where you can disinfect any and everything that you might have as far as equipment, people, shoes, horses. They've got it all down. And that's going to start on Saturday, July 14th. They'll have the Grand Prix and dressage team and individual day on the 24th. On the 25th, they have the dressage Grand Prix team and individual day two. So you get to see those back-to-back, and that's always a good one to go to. But the one I think you'd like the most would be on Tuesday, July 27th. That's a dressage team Grand Prix special. Dressage, I don't know. Nobody seems to like dressage. And the funny part about it is once you see it, you like to you go back. It's kind of one of those things, like a bad movie. You don't want to really watch it, but you can't turn the channel. But the dressage there is just is incredible. The people from across the different nations, and the horses literally dance to the music. And one thing about dressage, it's not a natural gait for the horse. It's an acquired skill. It's taught to the horses. and it takes many hours and many days of teaching to get the horses to do what they need to do. And by the time you get to the Olympics, you've got 3-4 years of hard work into the horses, and sometimes you might not make it. You might not have a good day, so then you got to wait another 3-4 years, to get the horse back to that peak and everything. But they start off with dressage, and that was on Tuesday, and then the 27th, and Wednesday the 28th of July, it continues on, and we have the Grand Prix Freestyle, and then they have the Dressage Individual Victory Ceremony on the 28th. So that's something that is really good to see. You like to go and enjoy yourself and watch it on TV. That's in the latter part of July. Then in August the 2nd, this is where I tell you, it's amazing, 3 days that they have here. They have eventing that starts on August 2nd. And they have a team jumping final, an individual and team individual final. There we go. And the individual qualifier. I tell you, that's eventing is cross-country, stadium jumping, and it is dressage. So that's a lot of different disciplines for one horse to deal with in just a few days' time. So that's one thing that if I ever could ride and do anything in the equestrian industry, it would be that. It would be eventing. But I'm just not built for that or have the ability to do that. You have to show a lot of talent in, three different disciplines. And that's hard to come by, not only for the horse, but for the individual rider, which is really tough. And so that's in the Olympics coming up in July 2021. And it'll be all over NBC and all around the country. Something to look forward to. Now we're going to get into something that I know something about, just a little bit. We're going to get into how they get there. The IEN 2021 documentary, How They Get There, the 2021 Kentucky Derby. It's a tremendous project that I've taken on to follow trainers, jockeys, owners, the veterinarians, the blacksmiths, the grooms, of how they get a horse to the Kentucky Derby. There's a lot of things that are involved with a lot of. First of all, the one thing that we talked about a couple of weeks ago is about the owners, how the owners do what they do. That's where it all starts. It starts with the owners. And when you get to that point in time when you're doing what you need to do at the and make the decision to go to the Kentucky Derby, it's a tough road to go. The owner has to decide whether he's going to breed a Derby winner or he's going to buy a Derby winner, or whether he's going to buy into a syndication for the Kentucky Derby winner. Now, like last year in for the Breeders' Cup, there was a horse called Authentic. And Authentic had over 5,000 owners. Over 5,000 owners. Now, just think about that. And the reason that they had that many owners is there's a company called MyRacehorse.com. And what they do is they syndicate horses. They go to the sales and they buy horses and they syndicate. And you can buy into the horse for as little as $40. And then, of course, depending on the bloodlines and so forth, You know, it depends on how much you pay for the syndicate. The syndicate for me, for Authentic, was very inexpensive, and that's why they ended up with over 5,000 owners. And the greatest thing about that is if you become an owner, and even if you've got a $40, you know, share in that horse, you're still a thoroughbred owner. You get your thoroughbred license. You can go sit in the owner's gallery. You can go, you get all the amenities of owning a horse because you are a horse owner. Now, having said that, you can't take 5,000 people to the winner's circle if your horse wins, like if money won the Derby and the Breeders' Cup. What they do is they have a lottery, and they'll put X number of people into the lottery, and they draw out the names. And then if your name, if you happen to be picked, then you'll be a part of that group that will be able to go to watch that horse run and get in the winner's circle as he wins on that day. So, you know, it's really a kind of a fair deal to do that. And the great thing is myhorse.com is unbelievable. You know, so you can go to that. But like I said, that's all part of being an owner. Now, for the most part, the owners that we have out there have been in the business for a while. They've got a lot of money. They go to the sales and they'll breed and they'll buy a horse, you know, and get it to a good trainer. Or they can breed a horse if they have any home bred. But more than likely, most of the owners you see are buying it. Sales. And when you go to the sales as an owner to buy, we had several people involved in the purchase of that horse. For example, when you go to the sale, you usually go with your trainer. And you look the horse over and you inspect them and you know, you kind of start getting an idea of what you're looking for and what you want. And now that you've talked with your trainer and you decided, you know, if that might be the horse you'd like to purchase, then you get with your veterinary and they do what they call a vet check on the horse. And they'll vet the horse out to make sure that, you know, he's good shape, no mean chips, no breathing problems. But, you know, you just give it a good medical or veterinary, you know, physical. So now that's the third person that you have involved in, you know, buying of the horse, which makes it, you know, now it starts to get interesting because you got three sets of eyes on the horse instead of, you know, instead of just your own. And so a lot of times, when you get the three together, you decide whether you're going to buy the horse or not, and then you buy the horse. And then once you buy the horse, you know, and you get him back to the barn and get him into training, the fourth person gets involved. That's your exercise rider and or your jockey. And once they get on the horse's back and they get him into training, you can start evaluating every day physically on how he's doing. Is he handling the track very well? You know, is he stressed? Does he look around the track? You know, does anything bother him? You know, you get a daily report of how that horse actually feels on the track. And, you know, and with the trainer's eyes on him and the jockey or the exercise rider, then you pretty much know, you know, what kind of horse you got. And then you get back to the trainer. You start planning out a program to get the horse to the Kentucky Derby. And, there's a series of races that you have to earn points in to get to the Kentucky Derby. For example, we got one coming up the 28th of this month. It's called the Kentucky Jockey Club. The points that they have available to build towards getting into the Kentucky Derby is you've got 10 for first, 4 for second, 2 for third, and 1 for fourth. And so that's all part of how they get there in the series of races that you need to run in to qualify for the Kentucky Derby. Now, prior to the point system for the Kentucky Derby, If you had a horse that was pointed toward the Derby, you nominate the horse. And then if it got down to a 20-horse field plus, it became money earners. Who had won, who had earned the most money? Top 20 money earners would have gotten into the race. And also, that's one of the things that, you know, that they've changed over the years, because what they're doing by creating a point system is they're creating a viable television market and to follow the horse they're going to the Kentucky Derby, because literally every Saturday you got a shot at watching a potential Derby winner run. And it kind of keeps them all in the same basket. You see them run against each other multiple times sometimes, that you'll see that. Do that in the Kentucky Derby. So, now you're looking again and talking to the trainer again, planning out a roadmap. Do we go down south? Do we go up north? Just where do we go to get our horse to the Kentucky Derby? New York, California, Arkansas, Kentucky, Illinois, Florida, Maryland, New York, where do you go? That's always a tough decision to make, but you got three or four people involved in what you're doing, with the horse. And so now once you get on the right road and you seem like you got a game plan and you got some backup plans in case your horse doesn't run good or if he's off a little bit and has to take time off during the 4 or 5 months to get into the Derby, a contingency plan for it. And so that's one of the things that you got to look at. The next thing that you look at is the blacksmith. The blacksmith has to, be on hand to make sure that his feet stays good and sound, that if it's muddy out, and he's training a lot in the mud, what kind of shoes does he wear? There's just the race day shoes, the work day shoes. Those all go into a decision that's made by the trainer and the owner and the blacksmith, and including the vet. The vet has a lot to do with this sometimes. Because if you get a little filling in the leg or knee or, the foot's a little sore, so you got four people in it. So once the owner starts, you get three or four people in it, and it's not just a single person's decision. It's multiple people that are deciding, about how the horse is going to get to the Derby. So, excuse me there. Now that you got, those four people involved, one of the most important things to keep your horse healthy is the feet. You got to make sure that you got good feet for the horse. And that the feed, that whatever track you're at, is the same feed that you feed when you originally started training the horse. And that's one of the things that we have on our website. There's a company called Hallway Feed. Hallway Feed has fed a lot of champions, a lot of world champions, Derby winners. They fed a lot of good horses. And what I like about Hallway Feed, they're very open. You can go to their factory and where they produce the feed at, and to the mills there in Kentucky, and take a tour of it. Family is very, very receptive to questions and what I do about this and what I do about that. And they have the experts there to help you with it. And the great thing about Hallway Feed is they feed horses all over the world. If you got a horse that's going from Kentucky to Japan, he will never miss a Hallway Feed day at all. They're all over the country, all over the world, and especially here in our country. It's pretty available. And so that's another thing that a lot of times you'll see some disagreement on. A trainer, an owner might tell a trainer, well, you know, Mr. Trainer, I've fed my horses this for 50 years. Never had a problem. And the trainer might come back and say, well, you know, this feed might work a little better for him, give him a little more, you know, what he needs, and not have to worry about gambling. But, you know, again, now you're talking about another person at the law, which is your feed dealer, and they're going to recommend, you know, what is the best for your horse, you know, to have. And also, all again, it started off with the owner. Now you got four or five people in law, you know, with what they're doing. And also, if you look at that, then you start talking about a lot of ways to get there. What are the Kentucky Derby prep races do we run in order to get there? And you have to be able to evaluate all of the three-year-old races. You got to look at every racetrack in the country, and you got to know what horse is training at that facility. It could be a competitor, you know, so that you keep an eye on it, like a scouting report and all. And that takes a lot of time. It involves a lot of time because you want to know who you're running against. And one of the great things is you have companies like the Daily Racing Form, TDN, the Thoroughbred Daily News. You have the Blood Horse where you can monitor, you know, all these horses. And you can even monitor them on our website. You know, so you got to stay up and involved with them as you get closer to the Derby. And then one of the things that last thing that you start to look at is you look at equine transportation. You want to know exactly how you're going to get your horses from around the country, whether you're going to fly them, whether you're going to man them, you know, just what you're going to do with them. You know, and that's a tough decision because you got to be sure that the manning company that you're using is one of the top in the business. If you're flying the horses, you got to make sure that you know you can get plane scheduled for your horse. A lot of times, trainers, if you're going to fly a horse, like say from Kentucky or New York to California to race on a Saturday, you usually can go out on a Thursday and get there Thursday. You'll get your horse to gallop across the track Friday and Saturday morning, and then race Saturday afternoon, and you come back Sunday or Monday. And also, a lot of times, a lot of trainers like to do that. But yet again, some trainers like to go in, you know, 2-3 weeks or maybe 30 days ahead of time. And then, you know, that all has to be taken into consideration, how you're going to get your horse there. And if your horse doesn't fly very well, then you're looking at ground transportation. And sometimes if you're looking to go to California on ground, you know, that's like taking a race out of your horse. You know, that type of thing. Whereas when you fly, you're looking at, you know, 4.5-5 hours from New York to California. So, you know, that becomes another big situation, you know, and decision for all the people involved. It's how do you get your horse there? Do you fly or do you go by ground? And so now that you've got all those things, you know, under your belt and you're winning and you got enough points to make it into the Derby, then you have to make the decision when to go to the Derby. How are you going to go? And like I said, ultimately it's the owner's decision, you know, to go to the Derby. You know, but then again, most of the owners talk with everybody involved that we've talked about today and decide whether you go to the Derby or not. And then if you go to the Derby, you know, it's an exciting 10 days of horse excitement at Churchill now. A lot of things to do there at Churchill that you, the owners and the fans get to do. And then ultimately, you load them in the gate, you know, and you hope that your decision was the right decision. You hope you get a good post. You know, there's a lot of things that 10 days prior to the Derby, you have no control. If if your horse isn't ready 10 days before the Derby, then you shouldn't be there. And but like I said, that last 10 days is just a matter of maintenance and, you know, trying to just polish him off and getting ready to load into that gate. So it's an exciting time. I know the first Derby that I was in was exciting. We went into the Derby. We won the Louisiana Derby in 1982 with Alava, and I was excited because we were a top horse going into the Derby. You know, being fresh into the business then, that's what it was all about. And everything. I was lucky. I got in, you know, on the top with top-notch horses and training. And we go into the Derby, and every day those 10 days, cameras in your face, taking the pictures. You know, even though at that time I was just barn working, they were interviewing me with the Taz Al-Bahabi, is he doing good? And I really liked it because I got a grazing every afternoon there at Churchill, and there were people standing all around the outside of the fence wanting to know who he was, and, you know, reporters and everything. And so you're just riding so high, you know, going into the Derby. And so we got walk over to the Derby with all the people in the infield and in the stand. You know, it gives you goosebumps. And so I remember walking into the tunnel, and when we come through the tunnel into the paddock, it was just awesome. You know, I've never been in a situation like that. Never had attention focused on me or any of my horses like that. So we get him saddled up and lead him out through the tunnel there at Churchill. They play My Old Kentucky Home. And, you know, the crowd roars and you get all excited. And then they put him in the gate and they spring the gate. Al-Bahabi comes out on the lead. He's running up front. And, you know, you constantly hear the track announcer, you know, and it's Al-Bahabi by a length and a half, you know, and he's calling the race and everything. And then coming at the 3/8 home, going for the finish, he gets bumped by a filly called Cooper Coy's Joy. And he kind of knocked him off stride. He's on the lead. I thought we were going to win the Derby at the 3/8 home. You know, I was so excited. But when he got bumped around and knocked off his stride, he had to take him up. Donnie Brumfield was the jockey, took him up, and we ended up finishing 11th. And I was still proud of Al-Bahabi. I was proud of everything that we did at Dewey Smith's. But it was kind of frustrating. But at least we were part of it. You know, we were part of the whole system. And so I get back to the barn, and everything's kind of quiet. And so I'm expecting, you know, reporters, and a few came by, wanted to know what happened to me, you know, that type of thing. But really it wasn't much. It was just a filler for, you know, in case they needed something to fill in about the race. And also the next morning when I got up and got to the barn, and it was kind of you know, I said, man, I'm getting there, and I'm thinking about all the reporters and, you know, all the hoopla and everything. And when I got there, there was nobody there but our crew. He said, a carib left. We were just another horse. And I said, in my entire life, I'll probably never experience such a high and such a letdown in a 24-hour period like I did then. But nevertheless, you know, we were proud of what we did, and we knew that there were good things coming for us down the road. And it was quite you know, an adventure, as we'll say. And so that's why I always say on the show, and, you know, when we're doing something like this, no matter what discipline you're in, whether you're on the farm, the racetrack, the showgrounds, whether you're hauling horses or working with veterinarians on the horses or whatever, in the equestrian life, the main thing to remember is that it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you get there. And it's the journey that you'll talk about more and more and more as you get older than you will the win. And that is so true. I've talked and talked, but I've told so many stories about the journey that I've been on, the people that I've met, the food that I've eaten, the festivals that I've seen, the towns and the countries that I've been in. And it's more about the journey than it is the victory. And that's what you retain when you're in the horses. And if you can do that, no matter what you won or what you lost, you're successful. Just remember, it's the journey that gets you there in the horses. So, you know, that's what we're doing on how they get there. Right now we're shooting a lot of film. We've done a lot of things, worked with a lot of photographers and a lot of companies that deal with the industry. We're putting together a good program, and hopefully we will have they get there ready for the Thursday night before the Kentucky Derby on Major Network. That's what we're looking at right now. And if we can get everything together, then we're going to have a good documentary that we'll have out and put on NBC the Thursday before the Kentucky Derby. And so that's how they get there. It's going to be interesting. You're going to see a lot of people on there that you might recognize, famous trainers, famous jockeys, famous owners. You'll see a lot of things that are there, which will really be good for us. So that's on how they get there, the 2021 Kentucky Derby International Equine Network. And then we're also started now on our website. It's Tis the Season Holiday Movies on IEN. We've got some good movies coming up that have been YouTube movies. Worked out a deal with YouTube for to do movies. So we're excited about that, and we'll change it every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we put in a new movie. It's a holiday-themed movie about the horse business. So if you have a favorite movie you'd like to see, email us at IENTV2019@gmail.com or go to our website, and you can see what we're doing on it, and we can get your favorite movie up. But I always like that at the holiday time to see the horse movies, and kind of gives you an insight of all breeds and all disciplines about how they spend their Christmas. And it's really good movies. They're usually about an hour and a half long, just like you'd see in you know, the cinemas and everything. So it's really a good one. Some of the ones, it's hard to find time, you know, to sit down and watch the movie. That tough part is finding the time to watch the movie. We got a Hallmark movie on there this month, or this week. It's a good one. It's beautiful. The scenery and everything. It's Christmas on the Range, it's called. It's really a good movie to go to. It's about an hour and 30 minutes long. I think everybody would enjoy it. It's a good family movie, to sit down and watch if you got a cold winter night or, you know, some bad weather. It's really good. I think you'll like it. I really do. It's called Christmas on the Range, and that's playing now on the International Equine Network. Tis the Season Holiday Movies in Miami there. So we're trying to get everybody to do everything. One of the things that we have on our website is called Loading Up the Clydesdales, about the Clydesdale horses and how they travel, which is interesting to see. You don't think about these horses until you see how big they are and how they travel. And that's a good one to watch a little short clip of how they load them up in there. And then we also have America's Day at the Races, that plays every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We go through several different tracks on America's Day at the races, and you see live race that you can watch from across the country. And if you like to bet on the horses, then you can go to your favorite OTV. You can go to TwinSpires.com. You can go to ExpressBet. Quite a few different outlets there if you'd like to bet on. And you can watch them live on our website, America's Day at the Races, that we have there. And then also, one of the things that we have that I really enjoy, and I'm watching it all the time, is we have the 2021 Keystone Montana trailers. These fifth wheel trailers are just phenomenal. The reason I chose the Keystone Montana is that all the horse venues that I've been to, I see a multitude of Keystone Montanas. They're just unbelievable. About 8 years ago, I was at the Kentucky Horse Park and doing some traveling, and I had a Keystone Montana 347 RL. And I tell you what, it was just like being at home. It had a washer and dryer. It had a standard size refrigerator. It had everything. It was sub-zero. Didn't get cold at all there in Kentucky. It had everything that I really could need. It was perfect. And probably the best living that I'd done in a long time, you know, with them. But nowadays, it becomes so popular with the horsemen and equestrians all around the country. You can literally go to Keystone Montana RV, and you can have them build an RV or a fifth wheel for you. You can order with anything you want, how you want it, where you want the bathrooms at, where you want the bedroom at, the washer, dryer. Keystone is very accommodating, and they turn it around pretty quick. It's about a 6 month turnaround once you order it, and you get the final design on it, which is really, really good to do with them. That's the Keystone Montana RVs. And if you go to our website, you can click on to the Keystone Montana 2020, and it'll get you right to where you need to find out about constructing your own RV. And once we got into the RVs and the horse industry, which is so important, to us, and there, it ended up turning up a program that we call Chuckwagon. And Chuckwagon is centered around the RV that the horseman would take to, to an equestrian event. And what we try to do is we try to get recipes that are good for the horsemen, that are easy to make, that are really time consuming, but time efficient for the horsemen. They don't have a lot of time to do what they do. And here last week, though, we ran breakfast at the Breeders' Cup, and that was a real good thing. It shows you kind of how important breakfast is to the equestrian. When people like the Breeders' Cup and the Derby and all, they have programming on there for breakfast, at the Breeders' Cup. But on Chuckwagon, what we try to do is we try to go through the whole day. We cover breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we also cover, how to throw a little equestrian party with Feed'em and Tabitha. And one of the things that I've done several times has been, which I really enjoy to do, is it's a slow cooker. And I used to think that the slow cookers were just for, chicken and pork roast and stews and that type of thing. And then I found out it wasn't. Now, when we started doing Chuckwagon, they have a slow cooker breakfast. And what you do is you you get all the ingredients together the night before, and you put it in your cooker, in your slow cooker. And when you go to bed and you get up the next morning, your breakfast is already done. You know, it's a slow cooker, one-pot breakfast. And I'm telling you, it was good. It felt good to be able to get up, and take a shower, grab that coffee, and then to start eating without having to make anything. And, you know, it's good. And it'll feed four people. And so that's, you know, one of the things that we do on Chuck Wagon, which is good. And I love to eat. That's for sure. That is for sure. But just, you know, to kind of go over everything, you know, especially about the holidays, you know, you can get together with family and friends and all the equestrians that you deal with. And the holidays here are kind of like the vacation before you go back to work. Everybody's got their plans for 2021 planned out. Last time you'll probably get to see everybody in a non-competitive situation. And also make the most of the holidays. You know, here with us. And speaking of 2021, one of the things that we're going to talk about every week is how they get there, the 2021 Kentucky Derby, our documentary of an IEN. Our next race that we're going to be looking at, and every week we'll recap and we'll talk about the races that are coming up. Our next big race is the Kentucky Jockey Club. It's at Churchill Downs on November 28th. This one is a tough one. I know that we just had the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which is one of the races on the way to the Kentucky Derby, but the Kentucky Jockey Club race is a race that defines your horse. It defines your horse in a way that not a lot of the Derby entrants will have come first Saturday in May. You're actually running across the Kentucky Derby track there at Churchill, and you'll know how he handles it. You know how good he is, and he'll have a look at that stretch a couple of times before, you know, he actually gets into the Derby. And this horse will make or break you. This race will make it. Make you a good horse real quick. So that's the Kentucky Jockey Club on November 28th. It's like the last big prep race before the Derby, before the end of the year. Actually a week later, then Remsen and Aqueduct is another prep race that we'll be looking at coming up. That's a good race. But you have to deal a lot with weather conditions there. And usually a lot of horses that run in the rims, and you don't see too much after that. And not that there's anything wrong with it, but, you know, it's just it's a tough race. It's a New Yorker's race, we'll say. And so we got the Jockey Club and the rims coming up here. Remember, it's the holiday season. Kind of be kind to your fellow equestrian out there. Give them a good hello, happy holidays. You know, enjoy it. Check into all the venues, whether it's show horses, race horses, the breeding industry, the farms. Just check out all the horse industry, and you'll see who has Christmas schedules and who doesn't. But remember, I'm telling you, go to the Kentucky Horse Park. Go to the Kentucky Horse Park. They got a great Christmas deal there, which is really good. And see what they have. Then let us know. Let us know if you like it. And if you go to the horse park and you don't like it, I'll refund you the ticket money. How's that sound? You can't beat a deal like that. And thank God I don't have that many listeners, because I won't have to spend that much money. Not money anybody's going to go. But until next Thursday, the question, remember, it's the journey that gets you there that you talk about. So just be smart enough to realize when you're on that journey, enjoy it for everything it's worth. We'll see you next Thursday on the International Equine Network.